Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest, the man, the myth, the legend, and one hell of a concrete man, Frank the Animal by Lois. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nasty?
Oh, man. What's up, Rigorilla? What do you say, buddy?
Not much, man. Just hanging out with the girls this morning and trying to keep my sanity and bang out some work. But
yep. I hear you, man.
Happy to release episode 36 here with the Anna Mule.
Oh, the Anna Mule.
What a beauty he is.
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, hide the kids when you're listening to this one. If you
don't parental advisory warning on this bad boy.
Yeah. He lets the F-bombs go like they're just a normal word.
Yeah, right.
But he's a beauty, great guy.
It was a lot of fun.
Should enjoy this one. I don't think we've laughed that hard in a while, Ross.
Yeah, right. I was in tears, man. I couldn't stop. Great. Couldn't stop grinning.
Oh, man. How about our boy Carter Hart? Congrats, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to see you. That was coming, obviously. But nice to see it being officially released and three more years in the orange and black. And big bounce back year, as we all expect.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Looking forward to seeing him around. And we got to get him on the pod. And
We
still have that the mask, the Carter Hart mask. We got to rock out here for charity. So,
Man.
All the pieces are coming together.
He's pumped. He's pumped about it. He's ready, man. He's focused. He's dialed in, boys. Dialed in. Excited about all the moves. You see, you hate to see, like we talked before, you hate to see friends and teammates go, but some guys needed a change, like we talked about before. And all the boys that I've talked to seem pretty fired up, man. They're ready to get it going. So,
yeah, I like the way things are shaping up.
Yep. So, congrats.
Time will tell.
Congrats, Hartsy.
Yeah.
You little bugger, you. Good deal. Nice deal for the Flyers. Nice deal for him. And little bridge deal. And then once he raises that silver 10 cup, you're gonna be paying him a lot more, boys.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
But don't want to jinx anything, but seriously, congrats, Carter. Love you, brother. Buddy, Nasty Knuckles first annual ball hockey tournament.
Yeah,
coming up.
I'm jacked up. One month from now.
National Ball Hockey League. We've partnered with them, man. These guys are awesome. It's going to be a day, Riles.
I know. Yeah. Got 12 teams already registered. Again, opportunity to register as an individual or as a team. Great day. Some other shenanigans and fun happening around the rinks of Marlton there. So, you know, bring your kids. We'll have some fun for them. And obviously, if you're a hockey enthusiast, there'll be plenty of activations and sponsors to showcase their goods. So looking forward to all that. It should be a great day.
Yeah, if there's any of you guys out there, any fans that have a business that you want to maybe bring over, contact us, you know, set up shop. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big day. Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff we still have to that we're signing off on, but hopefully with music, food, stuff like that, and other things we have. It's going to be an awesome day, man. Awesome day.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And the weather will have cooled down a little bit. It won't be so smoking hot, and it'll be perfect opportunity to get back in the community, play a little hockey.
Yeah.
Have some fun as always. Got to have fun.
Our team, the Nasty Knuckle team. We're
building it out. It's getting stronger.
Whew, I'm working, signing deals here, Riggs. So it's going to be fun. These guys are legit, though, man. It's real. It's fun. It's going to be fun. Watch if you ever go on their sites and watch some of these guys, man.
Yeah, they're no joke. They can move. Yeah, you ain't kidding. Good hands.
I got it.
Better bring my A game. Bring my Toby.
Oh, you better bring the Toby. Bring it. Yeah, so everybody, please get online and check it out and come join us that day. It's going to be fun, man. Get your teams together.
Yep. Let's do it.
And Riles still just jacked up about fans in Philly, man. Cannot wait.
Dude, man, I can't wait. Yeah. Be involved in something so organized around like-minded Philly fans. Some interesting road trips. I think the one got switched from the Vegas game to the Arizona game, which is, I think, a day later or 2 days later. But nonetheless, an awesome opportunity. Obviously doing the Nashville one in March as well, and probably tacking on a few more here. So a great partnership. They do an amazing job. Essentially a Philly-centric all sports travel agency. Yeah. You know, soup to nuts. They do it all. An amazing experience. So I'm really looking forward to participating because I've seen what they're doing and what they've done, and you know, how many people have been involved in the groups that they put together. And it should be awesome. And we'll be, obviously hijacking some time and pumping out some content while we're out there. So it'll be a lot of fun all around.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm so excited for it, especially the new look of the team. And I think it's going to be, everything's going to be great. So,
yep. A lot of good energy around it.
Yeah, man. I'm super pumped, man. I can't wait. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time, buddy.
Oh, the Enemule.
Prepare yourselves. Take a seat.
Earmuffs. Yeah. Earmuffs on the kids
around. You might want to keep them out of the room.
All the Settlemyer skate sharpening clients. I know I got a lot of young kids so that listen to the show. So let's put some earmuffs on. Maybe this might be one. It's all in good fun, but it's just Frankie. It's Frankie,
man. It's as raw as he gets.
Yeah. And, he's a beauty. He's a beauty.
All right. Let's let her rock.
All right.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we've been asked and asked and asked for this gentleman to join the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, the Animal, Frankie Bialowas. Francois, what's up, brother?
What's up, Nast?
My man.
Hey, Frankie. All right, man.
Oh, what's up, Riles? How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
You too, Winnipeg dudes.
No.
You're not used to this heat, are you? Yeah. Either one of you.
You got a little heart knocks. Yeah, the peg. Got...
So bad.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Oh, yeah. How you doing, brother? What's going on?
Oh, just busy cooking, you know, outside frying like a chicken.
Yeah, right.
It's tough, man. It's hot. And I don't like hot. You know, I don't like to sweat, Dustin.
I know, man. What are you up to? Tell us about your company, man. I can tell you I've witnessed it firsthand. This guy is unbelievable. You kind of can do everything, but if you want to tell everybody what you're up to.
Mostly now, just like we're trying to stick to the concrete. You know what I mean? It's taken off so much, you know, but thanks to the people in the area, you know, and everybody that I know. And, you know, fortunately, you know, like this year has been the busiest year ever. So it's, you know, and it's all referrals, and, you know, it's a blessing to be in this city, and people are great. You know, if the hockey stuff helps, but again, we take pride in the business. So we always try and do the best that we can. You know, and like I said, we're trying to stick to the concrete. I mean, but we're doing, you know, you can do everything, additions, you know, whatever you need. You know, I get a honey-do list from you all the time.
Yeah, he does. This guy's here a lot. I'm starting to wonder. I don't see sometimes what's really getting done, but it's okay. It's all good. No, but Frankie, you know, your business is unbelievable. I know so many people, like you said, referrals, but you wouldn't get referrals if you weren't doing a hell of a job. And yeah, you certainly do.
You did the old stamped concrete in my pad there.
That was the early one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Now it's escalated. It's out of control now. It's, you know, but I like it. You know what I mean? You get in, you get out. It keeps you busy. It keeps you honest. You know what I mean? The men hands, men head, you know, you got to stick with what it does you well. Right?
Stay in your lane, Frankie.
That's it. One way. That's it. No finesse whatsoever.
Yeah, right?
Fuck that carpentry and all that shit, man.
That's it.
Oh, man.
So what's been going on in the hockey world? I haven't seen any alumni events in the last little while.
Too
busy for
invited.
Them or what?
I don't know what the fuck. I gotta go beat up Marcy.
Go to Marcy's door and say what's up.
Yeah, I think tell Marcy I'm gonna punch him in the mouth next time I see him.
You definitely won't get invited over if he knows you're gonna punch him.
I didn't even know that I really hasn't been in touch. You know what I mean? So I didn't know what there was going on. We got one this weekend. I think Riley's playing in it. I'm playing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can fucking skate anymore, but I'll be giving an effort. Worst case scenario, you got to just beat someone up and get, you know.
You can get to the
you're
red
lucky
line
I'm not
do the
playing
blaster
against.
From the red line there, Frankie.
That's my high favorite. Heat. High heat, man.
Are you putting tape on your blade yet?
Oh, hell no. You don't need that shit. That's overrated.
Tell you this. Last week, 2 weeks ago now, we Riles on my men's league team, Francois, and he breaks the stick that he's been using for about 10 years. This thing, I don't know how it lasts.
Since I retired. Long. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's this company that has a stick and you don't put tape on it. And I hand him the thing and he turns, he goes, "Wait, you think I'm Frankie?" He's like, "There's no tape on this thing." I said, "That actually has grip on it, though. You'll be fine." And then he loved it. He actually loved the stick.
Oh, yeah.
Later.
Frankie, really? I remember when you did that back in the day, that you just kind of like rubbed the Gordie Howe tape on it. If people don't know what Gordie Howe, we call it Gordie Howe, but it's called friction tape, and it's like real sticky. Frankie's like, "I don't feel like taping it." "I don't feel, I'm just going to go." And guys are like, "Frank, put tape on your stick." Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I was doing it.
I'll never forget. I was pissed. I was like, you know what? What the fuck do I need this? It's like a waste of time. I spent 10 minutes taping my fucking stick. All I'm going to do is break it over someone's head or throw it at someone and start a fight. You know? Like, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this no more. That was it. I stopped taping. Never taped it after. Did I score a goal?
Like, yeah. I think
that's the first time I ever scored two goals. So that like put the fucking exclamation point on it. I was like, I'm done with that shit.
I should have never put tape on my bum.
I know. I would have been like a, you know, 100 goal scorer. My ass.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I did, though. I either got one or two. Yeah. I don't remember.
I think you're right, man.
Yeah, but something just possessed me. I was like, I'm done. I'm not. This is too time consuming. It's fucking.
It was the old branches blades.
Oh, yeah. Branches, yeah. Branches, wow, yeah. That's going way
that's
back.
That's going back, man. Jeez.
Aluminum, they weighed 10 pounds instead of. I remember the first time, like Riley, you know, the thing, talking about your stick. I remember the first time I picked up one of them. I'm like, what is this thing? You know, two sticks? I was like, yeah, right. What are you doing that? I couldn't even skate. I was like, God damn, what the fuck is going on? All right, give me back my wood stick, man.
Oh, I know. There's a big difference.
Yeah, I think you gave me one. Yeah, you gave me one when I was playing with the alumni. I was like, can't you get me my branches? These things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. He's like, what is this thing? It has no weight to it.
Yeah, they don't make them no more. That's ancient. No.
You just got to tape the shaft up and down if you want to get some weight to it.
I got to put some barbells on it or something.
Oh,
hey, Frankie, I was looking I was looking up some stats before we hopped on here on HockeyDB, and it's usually pretty good with, like, guys' track records. It doesn't show anywhere that you'd play junior hockey. It just said right from pro. Do you play anywhere in junior or what?
Yeah, I played. I mean, I played in Estevan, like in the SJ.
Oh, the SJ, okay.
And in Winnipeg, you know what I mean? I went to Estevan really early. I was young. And then I played there for a year. Then I was getting in trouble and being an asshole like I always am, you know what I mean? And then I was like, you know what, man? I'm not going there for like $30 a, you know, week or whatever the fuck it was. I'll stay here and be a criminal and make money and, you know, play in Manitoba Junior League, you know what I mean? So it was like, yeah. So it was funny. I mean, I was, you know, always doing stupid shit, and it was comical. But, well, you know,
what team would did they have in Winnipeg? Like junior?
Junior. Yeah, same. It was the same as like the SJHL, Manitoba Junior Hockey League.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, it wasn't the dub. It was like a step under. You know, basically SJHL.
It's Junior A.
SJHL. What's that?
Junior A.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Riley knows Kildonan North Stars. So sure, yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Did you, Frankie, when you first, this is something I actually don't know. I feel like I've known you for so long. We've been friends for so long. I know so much about you, but did you go into junior hockey fighting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to fight all that. Yeah, that's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to fight. I had like temp, you know, some kind of anger management thing going on, you know. It was like stress relief. I was like,
yeah, express yourself.
Yeah, like you can go beat someone up and you ain't going to jail. It's like,
yeah, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Frankie, you say that, but knowing you the way we do, you're you have the biggest heart in the world. So it's funny you say that. I just wanted to kill people because, like, you're the guy that'll stop, see someone on the side of the road and help them. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's funny that you say that. But the people that don't know you, it's like, you know, you have a heart as big as a room.
Yeah, I do anything for anybody. I give you the shirt off my back, but then when you rip it and shove it in my face, and you
got some problems.
You got some serious problems.
I remember, Frankie, when we started the Phantoms, when I met you in 96, Flyers, Mr. Schneider put a team in with the American League, and we played in the Spectrum, everybody knows. And I didn't know of you yet. I had been in the NHL. I was an assistant for 3 years, my first 3 years in hockey. So I didn't know a whole lot about the American League. I knew because in Florida, we had players in the International League in Cincinnati playing for the Cyclones. And then we had in Philadelphia, our team was in Hershey. That's about as much as I knew. So I'll never forget Billy. They named Billy the coach. And then I meet Chris Felix, our good friend, the late Cat. El Gato, as he used to call himself, beautiful man. I remember him and I are getting to know each other, and he's like, dude, we're going to be like sick. Because he had been in the American League. He'd been a medical guy in the Rangers organization. He goes, dude, we're going to be so tough. He's like, you got to see this guy. We got Frank the Animal by Lois. And I'm like, Frank the Animal? I'm like, what? He goes, dude, this guy's insane. Where do you see him? You know, and I'm like, so I meet Frankie. I'll never forget. We're downstairs in the lobby, and I met you and Mac at the same time. Dave McKay.
Were we drunk or at the bar?
No, you weren't drunk yet. It was in the morning. Okay. You weren't drunk yet, but I swear to God, Riles, I see Frankie come in. I don't know who he is because, you know, 80 guys used to come to camp.
Right,
so many people. So Frankie and Mac are there, and I introduced myself to them. And we start talking, and I'm like, okay, this is Frankie. I felt like I knew him my whole life after a 10-minute conversation. Just like we hit it off, and Mac too, Dave McKaysing the same way. But, you know, he was just like, I'm going to fucking kill somebody. You know, like fight. Like he was like, I just can't wait to get started.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to fuck some people up, you know? And I'm like, okay, this guy's my favorite player already. You know, like,
well, how can he not be? He's got
the animal.
I mean, yeah, he's already, like, your favorite, like, he's already your favorite player.
I just couldn't wait. And you know, Mr. Snyder allowed, it was John Blackwell the first year, actually, before Homer had come back to the Flyers. He put together a really good team and a lot of toughness. I mean, you remember we had Jason Bowen, Colonel. The Colonel, remember the Colonel, Brian Curran, Riles? This guy's warm-up routine was better than our buddy Gillies. Watching him, wow. he used to get his hands going. We're warming up in Hershey in preseason, Riles. He's doing his little skate thing. His glove comes off and goes over the glass into the stands.
No way, wow.
I have never seen anything like this
Jordan
in my life.
Skating strokes in the, like, oh my God. It's like someone tied a rubber fucking band around over a street jacket.
It was unbelievable. But he was a great guy, though. And he had played, you know, in NHL. Like, he was been around. Like, he was a great guy. Neither one of those guys really stuck around. And we had, I'm trying to think of the Horchek, Tony Horchek.
We had
him as well, dude. He was a big man, tough guy. But we didn't really need it because, you know, we had the animal and other guys as well. But Frankie was the heavyweight champ of the league for sure. Tons of memories. Frankie, obviously.
So much fun. They got to return that shit.
Yeah, right. Speaking of the nickname, the animal, what is the storyline behind it? Nasty was giving me a little bit of a 101. Your first year pro in Rono.
Yeah.
You have some substance behind it?
Dude, there's funny as shit. Like, I was like, I went to Roanoke and I was like, just like huge, man. I was like all juiced up. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
It was terrible. It was real bad. And I can fucking skate. I was like, you know, so I get off the bus and the whole fucking team's like looking at me and I'm like, what are you fucking looking at? You know, like, and they're like, oh, and no one would say that. They're scared. Like, Mike James was our goalie. Me and him are real good buddies. You know, he's funny as shit. But so they put me to live with him and he tells Roy Somers, like, no fucking way that I'm living with that guy. You know what I mean? We're like best friends now. But, you know, it's like, you know, long story short, we get out. I'm like, I can't fucking skate, man. My legs were seizing up. Like, you know, they were so big. I was like, I'm like, fuck this, you know, and he's like, well, you got to give it an effort. Just go out there. So I skate out to center ice and I line up. So I think we were playing like, what the fuck was it? Wheeling, West Virginia or something like that. So I line up, you know, slapshot league. They got 100 fighters. I lines up beside me. He's like looking at me, doesn't know how to take it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what are you looking at? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, so I fucking punched him. You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right. He goes down. He's bleeding all over the place. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, man. The ref gives me, doesn't even get up. And I'm like, all right. So I skate to the penalty box. I'm sitting in there. Coach is shaking his head. And the other team's coach looks over and like, where in the fuck did you get that? And I'm just like, and they're just laughing. Roy's cracked. Roy was a great guy. He was funny as shit.
Yeah.
So he's laughing. I get out of the box. I come skating back across the ice, make my way back to the bench. And I'm like, I'm done, man. I'm not skating no more. Fuck this shit. And he's like, you got to try. You got to get in shape. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay. So I go cruising out there. I skate around. My legs start hurting. I'm like, I just stop, eh? And I'm like looking around. The guy skates by me. I tomahawk him. You know what I mean? And like, and he's like, he drops his gloves. And I punched him. I hit him right in the front of the helmet. His helmet fell off his head like two pieces. And I'm like, and I hurt my hand. I was like, fuck. And then he dives down, tries to turtle. I pick him up by the back of the shirt. And I got him up in the air and I'm fucking hitting him, you know, like typical Frankie shit.
Yeah.
He's like half dead. So I throw him on the ground. And I skate back to the box. And Roy's like, are you going to try and play? I'm like, no. Every time you put me on ice, I'm just going to fuck someone up. And he's like, okay, so I go out there again, and now I'm actually okay. I'm gonna try and play a little bit. So I get the puck and I'm skating. I'm like, again, you know, I'm out of gas. I'm like
gas.
I'm out of gas. I'm like, so I go stand against the boards and hold the puck, and some idiot decides to run me, bounces right off of me. Hey, I look at him, turn around, grab him, one punch him, knock him out cold. And at that point, this fucking hillbilly, this is big truck. They had a fishing pole with Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket, and they're flinging it over the boards and reeling it in. And I'm laughing, and he's like, "This kid's a fucking animal." I went up to the, they had a bar, so I got tossed out of the game. I went up to the bar, and the owner was like Henry Brabham, just total, you know, like, hillbilly oil tycoon, like loaded.
Yeah.
Carries a big 45. He's crazy. You know, they have problems in the bar. He pulled the gun out, put it to people's head. Don't make me kill you, son. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Oh. It was nuts, man. I seen some shit in Roanoke, man. That was funny. Yeah, I'll tell you a story about going to one guy's house. I was like, what the fuck? And that's me saying that. I was like,
yeah, right. Yeah, right. I was going to say, for you to say that, like, we've been in a couple of situations together, and for you to say that.
Dude, I'm telling you. So anyways, so Henry gets up there, and he's loving it. And he's like, all right, hey, son, your name's Animal. That's it.
That's it.
Okay, whatever.
So three fighting majors in that game? That's priceless.
Oh, one punch, dude, I don't even, like I said, I might have skated from one end to the other one time if you had it all three
together. productive yeah. Game.
You know, it's good, needless to say, in practice, you have to, you know, try and get going. But, like, I basically got off the bus and played that night. You know what I mean? So yeah. I skated in a year, and I was like, fuck.
How did you – now, okay, so why did you have a year off from playing hockey? If
being bad.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I spent the time at a vacation resort.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
My dad put it – the coach, Roy was trying to get me to come out there for, like, the whole season because I played against him in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
So he was a coach in Minot, and I played Ness, you know, in a thing. So he was looking for me, and he found me. He kept calling my dad. You know my dad. You met him. Jimmy. And he's like, hey, where's Frank? He's like, oh, he's on vacation. How long is he on fucking vacation for? He's like, have him call me. Well, he'll call you when he gets out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So when I got out, I got put on a fucking Greyhound bus in, I think, North Dakota somewhere. My grandpa drove me across the border, and that was like sayonara. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're off to their life. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, like I was telling Riley, I mean, he obviously knows you, but talk a little bit about those younger, like your years, like in there, I guess, 19, 20, when you became a pro, because you've done a lot, like you did a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like I said, if you talk to a guy, what a story, like who's done everything, like right. You want to like expand on
I got a guy who's been writing a book for like 2 years, but I mean, like, fuck, I used to play like in junior in Winnipeg. Like I told you, I was an Est man. I went to Winnipeg. Well, I was dating a girl. Obviously, she was a stripper. We know my whole background. You know, basically fucking dumb, you know, but whatever. You marry a stripper.
You're not the only person.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's it. Oh, I did it a few times. Actually, my favorite quote in the world is from you, Nasty. You broke the fuck out of prison. You ran around to the front door and went right back in.
You get out of prison and you break back in. What the hell?
Oh, dude, that's my favorite, man.
But anyway,
it's okay. So playing junior, like I said, you're playing in Esteban. I did the year there. I mean, you know, I never went to school. I was like always in the hot tub, banging older girls. You know, total mess. You know, I'm 14 years old, sleeping in the jacuzzi, screwing all night. Their billets would be like, "Are you going to school today?" Nah. And it's like, okay, you couldn't make me do anything. You know what I mean? I was like, nah. Coach was like, I had Jerry James. So he's like, you got to go to school, son. No, I don't. Okay.
Okay.
You know, after a year and all the stupidity, got my head shaved, didn't like that too much, you know, stupid shit, you know, by the vets, you know, your typical hazing, whatever. And I just decided, fuck it, I'm going to go back to Winnipeg, play there. You know, and then I got into shit, you know, met the girl, my, you know, first one, stripper. Well, she's like, why you work so hard, man? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you can go dance and make tons of money. You know what I mean? So that was like the downfall of Frank. You know what I mean? So it was
I mean, just so we know before you finish what you're getting ready to say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Maximilian.
Oh, dude, my brother sends people pictures. It's like embarrassing, man. Like, he gave it to my, oh, dude.
Just a phase, Frankie. Dude. Just a phase, man.
Just a phase you went through.
Yeah, you outgrew it.
Hey, but I'll tell you what, this is a family oriented show, so we won't get into it. But some of the stories I wish we could tell that he told me about that, it's crazy. Riggs. I mean, crazy.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Like,
but
like,
toughest stripper I ever seen, Frankie.
Toughest stripper, too. Tap in soup. Put it that way.
I mean, like, honestly, we, you know, you're playing a hockey game, and I go to play the game, and it was like my first show was at like 8 o'clock. So, you know, like we played Fort Garry Blues, which was our rivalry, and I'd be skating around swearing at everybody in, you know, in warm up, like, oh, Frankie's got shows tonight. So I'd have like
try and kicked out
as fast as I could. Oh yeah, get the fuck out right to the club. So I'd be in my gear, have a shower, just fucking gear down right there and a naked, you know, on the stage. I was done, man. You know what I mean?
That is impressive.
It was good. Sometimes I'd show, you know, someone would catch me with once, I'd have a black eye or a cut. I'm like doing a strip show with fucking bleeding, you know what I mean? I'd be like, who cares, man?
I think
come with time management though, right? I mean, you're juggling the hockey game. He's like three fights and you're out first.
Yeah, and the best part was is all the guys knew they'd all come to the club after, you know, the game would be over. They'd all be like, where are you working, man? We got to go pick up some chicks.
Yeah, well, that's what you basically said. You said it was just ridiculous. Yeah. They just threw themselves at you.
Dude, it's so bad. I mean, you know, it's you think the hockey world and sports and stuff, there's, you know, women around. That's just a whole different breed, man. Like, it's yeah,
that's in the peg though, man. Yeah, I don't know what's going on
everywhere. That was Toronto. I traveled.
Maximilian travels.
Oh, yeah.
He's on tour, man.
I was kind of telling Riles about, I guess, I think you were telling me you drove a cab for a job too.
Oh, right? My dad had a taxi business, you know what I mean? So it was great money. I mean, like, honestly, you know, because you're not paying. Usually you got to rent to work there and stuff like that. You pay the owner, you know what I mean? But my dad was like, yeah, go drive cab. It was fun, man. You fight a lot, you know? I fight every day. I used to drive taxi. I think that was like playing a hockey game. You just get fights easy, man. They get in your car all hammered up and you like have to get out of them or they don't want to pay. And it was fun, man.
That's fun.
You got the green light again to just pound faces. People don't pay it for their taxi.
I'll tell you this one time. I'm driving cab and it's like maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like down on Sherbrooke, you know, in the hood there, Riles.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, like really bad. And this guy comes out of one night. I was like, I can't remember what bar it was. So he gets in the fucking cab. He's got to be like 7 feet tall, man. Good fucking 350, 400 pounds. So he gets in the car. His head's turned sideways because he can't fit in the car. And his one side of his body's touching the door. The other side's touching me, and I'm like, holy fuck, we had a size of this big motherfucker. And I'm like, I hope he behaves, you know what I mean? It's like,
geez, hope he behaves.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God. So he goes, he says, pull in here. Like, we go, it's like a $7 fare, you know what I mean? And he fucking pulls in this, he goes, pull in the alley. And I'm like, oh fuck, here we go, man. You know, and he's like, I'm not paying. And I'm like, yeah, well, hey, $7, man. It's like, yeah, have it. So then he's like, so he gets out of the car and he's like, fuck you. He's kind of losing it. And he walks around to the front. It's my old man's cab. Eh? And he takes his fist like Donkey Kong and whacks the hood. And I'm like, oh, now you have to fucking piss me off. Eh? So I get out, open the door. I'm like, what's your fucking problem? And he comes walking over, dude. I grab my dad's mace. I sprayed this motherfucker in the face and I beat it. I left him for dead. I kicked the living shit out of him. I was kicking him in the face and I'm like, oh, fuck, I think I killed him. So it's like 3 in the morning, minus 40 outside. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. I leave him. I call my old man. He's like, I said, Dad, I fucking think I killed this fucker. He's like, were you sure? And I'm like, yeah, he goes, where? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. He goes, okay, come and get me. So if I could drive from fucking Sherbrooke all the way out to past the perimeter, like West St. Paul, which is like a good 35, 40 minutes, I grab my dad, we drive back. And here, like 40 minutes later, minus 40, there's some people in the alley trying to pick this fucking Godzilla up. You know, he's bleeding everywhere. And my dad's like, oh, he's alive. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Maybe in a coma, but he's alive.
My God.
Oh, they were dragging him out. There was like four people. Like, you need a crane to pick this motherfucker up, man.
So when you were driving a cab, you told me this one story. Were you driving a cab when you came out and you saw a guy kind of manhandling a woman?
Yeah.
And you went over and said, hey, buddy, like...
Well, that was, I know which one you're talking.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking
that
about.
That wasn't a cab.
No, that was when I, that was when, how the, like, when I told you the demise kind of fell apart. When
okay.
It was like, I came home from Estevandi. So I stole my mom's car. I wasn't supposed to be driving, didn't have a license. I got pulled over, got all these fucking tickets. And I was like, you know, and you met my mom. Yes, I'm like, yeah. Oh, she's going to fucking hang me by my balls, man.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at home and I'm like, how in the fuck am I going to get this money? It's like $600. And back then I was like, you know what I mean? Now it's like, whatever. But so I get a phone call and the guy's like, hey, you know, like, I'm like, all right. So he's like, yeah, come. If we beat, you know, I'll give you all this money. I never believed it. I'll give you this coin if you go beat this guy up. So I'm like, all right. I said, don't fuck around. It's a lot of money. No, I need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he picked me up, drives me to the mall, points to this guy. He says, I go up. I'm like, are you so-and-so? He's like, yeah. So I just grab him, start beating the fuck out of him. You know what I mean? Everyone's screaming. And I'm like, so all security comes. He's laying there. I hit him in the head a couple times with chairs. You know, tried to kill him, but it didn't work. And I was like, all right, fuck it. So I run out of the mall and I get in the car and I'm like, hey, give me my five fucking grand, man. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, yeah, no problem, man. You're like, here you go. And he's like, I want you to work for me. I'm like 15 now or something, you know, six somewhere there, 16 close. And he's like, I said, well, what are you going to pay me? He's like, I'll give you like $5,000 a week. I'm like, oh, hired, man.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what I'm doing, but.
I figured out what I was doing. It wasn't too good.
No.
Wow. But I kind of stuck with it. I liked the money. So, yeah.
Now, was that protecting young ladies?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I, yeah. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's, yeah. I had the story a little mixed. I couldn't remember because
no, it had
1 million.
Because yeah, I was working with my dad, and then like I said, that shit came in, and it was like, again, it's just more money and more stupid shit, and you know, and then in the long run, I ended up beating the fuck out of the kid that was paying me the money because he was, you know, being mean to the girls. He beat them up, and that's what you told me.
Yeah,
yeah, and then he was done. I killed him, put him in the hospital. The girls phoned the police on him, and it was just a whole shit show and a race. So. You know, life is life, man. You do stupid shit, but you know what? I've done the stupidest, but I don't regret any of it because it made me who I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're very successful. So kids, don't go to school. I'm kidding. But go to school. But no, but seriously, Frankie,
you
don't
want to be like me.
No.
This is all before you turn pro too, right?
Yeah. This is all yeah.
Leading up to pro hockey, man. You're primed. You're ready to rock.
I always tell everyone that ask if they haven't heard from you or seen you. And I'm just like, he's so successful, but you work your ass off.
You're a hustler, smoke, man.
Dude. You work your balls off. You work till it's dark. I can't believe we got you this early. I was shocked when he said you were gonna come on early.
We got done. We poured a whole big driveway today. It worked out good, but it's cooking, man. It's like,
yeah,
you know, and they're good guys. Like I said, when they're hot, like these guys wear jeans to work, and I'm like, you're out of your mind. I'm gearing down. I'm like, I'm ready to put my fucking thong back on.
I was gonna say the banana hammock. You throwing that out there for the customers? Dude,
they're like, "Can you put some fucking clothes on?" I'm like, "No, shut up."
Frankie, jumping around here. So, your first year back when you came. Well, actually, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Before you came, you started you were playing in, obviously, in the East Coast. Was it called the East Coast then?
Yeah,
East Coast League.
Yeah.
And then you made it up to St. John's for the Maple Leafs, and you eventually got called up, where you fought two of the toughest SOBs to fight in the NHL, Tony Twist and Ty Domi. But what I was going to ask you, was there... Now, we talked the movie Goon, we all laugh at. Did some of that have something to do with you as far as, like, kind of that storyline?
Oh, that whole thing, man, is like, I mean, at first, when I first seen it, I was like pissed and I was mad at Doug's, you know, but Doug's actually a great guy. He had nothing to do with it. It was all Hollywood because I had lawyers trying to look into it. You can't touch them, you know what I mean? But if you look at that and you watch that movie, you watched it. That chaos guy, long hair, had his wrist taped up. Dude, in Newfoundland, who the fuck are you? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, anybody that knows hockey knows that was me. You know what I mean? Like, it was a
joke. Did you fight the cop that he got finally called up and you busted him up?
So what happened was, we had Crawford as a coach, and Kevin McCullen that played with him in Newfoundland the year before, he was in Moncton, and Mac and me were warming up beside, we were buddies. Mac's a great guy. I love him, man. And we're warming up. He's like, "Hey, Frank," he goes, "they got this fucking idiot from fucking some cop from fucking Boston. And he's going to want to go everybody. You know, I don't know if he can skate. I don't know anything about him, but just be careful." And I'm like, "Ah, fuck him." You know what I mean? So Crow comes in the fucking dressing room and he's like, "No one's allowed to fight this guy." Cause we had Bush, we had a tough team, man.
Yeah, you had Bushy. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had a shitload of that whole Maritimes is crazy back then, you know. So he's like, "No one's allowed to fight this guy." And he looks at me, "Especially you, dumbass." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck you." And he benched me. And I was like, "Motherfucker." So Blanje's out there, you know, and Blanje would listen. You know, you remember Billy always like, "Frank, don't do nothing." But
yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. we've told that. We've told this before. Yeah, yeah. Don't do anything.
Yeah. So, anyways, I go. You know, I'm not getting played. I got benched because Crow didn't trust me at all. So Smythe goes out there. He smacks Blanje. Blanje won't fight him, you know, because Crow's scared of Crow. Then Bushy's out there, and Bushy wants to go home. He's just like biting his lip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Nah." And this guy's just acting like a complete asshole. You know what I mean? So finally, Crow goes out. "You go talk to him, but don't you dare fight." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, you got it, man. I promise."
Yeah.
So I go line up. And I mean, it's a standing there, and he comes up and he's like, "Hey, you're gonna give me a shot at the title?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So the fuck off, and I just beat the shit out of him. You know, like I smashed his face, both eyes closed. When the fight was over, I let him go because I could see the blood and all, like really bad damage. You know, he pulled his shirt over his face. So he skates off, and then Matt comes out the next period. He goes, "Man, did you fuck that guy up? You can't even see his face." And we're all laughing. Right? And that was the end of fucking, you know.
In the movie, don't they show a real clip from him, like, leaving the ice in old barn? Like, and I'm like, I remember I was still with a team, and we went as a team to watch that in Edmonton. So, Frankie, so you're in St. John's. You get called up. Mm-hmm. And you're playing, you're playing against Twist and Domi or whatever. Mm-hmm. You played three games up there. What are you thinking? Like, oh boy, like this is.
Oh no, I remember I started because like my first shift, I actually thought I was fucking dangling. I thought I had all my shit together. Fucking, yeah, stupid. Yeah. So I lost the puck in my fucking feet and landing. Came across and hit me, man, with a shoulder right in the face. Fuck, smoked me, man. Broke my fucking nose. I was I get right up and I'm bleeding and I'm fucking go right after him, man. I'm like, "Come on, you motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you." So I'm like, you know, and he, no. And then someone stepped in to say something, and I grabbed him, and he's like, "I'm not fighting you, go to the bench and fix your face." And I'm like, "Fuck you, man." So I went and lined up, and I was lined up beside someone. I'm like, "You want?" I can't remember who it was. It was one of the other Quebec top guys. You know what I mean? I'm like, "You want to go?" It's like, "I ain't going, you man." So I played the whole shift, bled all over myself. I went to the fucking sitting on the bench, and I can't remember the kid's name. That was our medical guy. He comes over at the prongs, up my nose, straight my nose out. I look like fucking Lion King. You know what I mean? So I'm like sitting on the bench, and they put some gauze up there, and Burns is like, "Frankie, you okay?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, man." Throws me back out there. I'm skating around there. I'm in front of the net. I almost fucking scored. And then all I see is a big paw on my fucking shoulder and spun me around. I look, it's Twister. Fucking gloves go flying. My gloves go flying off. I'm like, "Let's go, motherfucker." And he's like, and we went. It was like, I didn't give it two. I couldn't care less. You know that. You break my nose.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think you tagged him towards the end there, and you maybe almost made him submit a little bit. Is what it looked like.
Oh yeah, no, he actually, like, I love Twist. He's like, you know, but we were going toe to toe. We were throwing some heat. And I cracked him. I got him good.
Yeah,
he shut the mill down. He grabbed on, and the refs were like, "Are you done?" I'm like, "No, man. Let's go." And he's like, "I'm done." He said it. "I'm done." And he patted me on the ass. He's like, "Fuck, good job, kid."
That was awesome. That was a good tell. Yeah, man. Because he looked like he hit you a couple good ones earlier. Maybe it more of your helmet than anything. But you actually tagged him with a partial uppercut or whatever it was in there.
Yeah.
You could tell it neutralized. Oh, yeah, it hurt. He was legit, man. That was good stuff.
So you make your way into Philly. Flyers grab you. And the Phantoms we have that year. I have never seen, well, of course I haven't been everywhere, but you had a damn billboard in Philadelphia, bro.
Oh, that was funny.
In the minors.
I mean, American Hockey League, and we're in a city, right, you know, with an NHL team. Now, there were flyer billboards. This is before the billboards change as you're driving, you know, all fancy. This was a billboard with the animal on it with Frankie. It was amazing. But you, I mean, we had a good team. Like I said, we had a really good hockey team, and it was great for, because so many blue collar people, obviously, in Philadelphia and everything. And you can't afford, even back then, you know, it's just an expensive night. And it's just great for families that couldn't quite afford to have season tickets there. I mean, that first year when we averaged like 16,000.
You remember how it started, man? Remember the first game? Billy started all the idiots. We're all standing out there. And I was like, and we had like, what, 2,500 people, maybe 2,000 in that building? Nothing. Yeah. We had nobody.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the fucking blue line. I'll never forget it, because I was talking to myself. I always used to. You remember that?
Yeah.
A couple of smelling salts in the nose, get all on the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I'm standing on the blue line and I'm like, look at this fucking shit. They put me in hell. I really, because I didn't know. You know, I was like, you're going to play in this big building with no fucking fans. This fucking blows. I said, I was like, I'm out of here. I remember my first shift. I think I grabbed that Shane, what was his name?
Oh, Webby.
Steve Webb.
That's it.
Steve Webb.
Yeah. And I lined up beside him. I'm like, when fucking puck drops, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. And he's like, no. Puck drop, man. I was fucking punching him. He was skating the other direction. I had him by the back of his shirt. I was punching him in the back of the fucking head. And our whole team's like looking. And I got back and I remember Billy saying something. I'm like, you know what, man? I'm just going to fuck everyone. And those 2,000 people went ape shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to fuck everyone up, man. I'm going to just, and we started a cult following, and it was the truth.
I remember that first home game.
What's up, Elby?
He said, what's up? So I remember that, that game we were winning, our first home game, we were winning 2-1. Riles, I may have told you this, and you know where the camera, the holes in the glass are for the cameraman. They're like along the glass, and Sean McCosh, I'll never forget after the game, we're up 2-1, right? We want to win the game, like, obviously. So he's going to take a face off, and one of the fans yells through the thing, "We secured the win. Now let's beat the shit out of them." It's 2-1 with like a minute and a half to go in the game. And Kosher's thinking like, where am I? This is, you know, Philly, but they wanted, because of these guys started chucking them. And then next thing you know, our attendance is through the roof. I never forget, like you just said, Billy, it used to make us all laugh because the whole place is literally chanting Frankie or Animal, one of the two. They would switch it up all the time, but it would be 12 seconds ago. Game, we beat, I mean, that first year we won won 49 games. Like we beat everybody. Hershey upset us in the playoffs that year, came back 3-1 down. But anyway, Billy would be like, all right, Frank, because they're just chanting his name and he's just got smoke coming out of his nose and his ears. And, you know, he's just like this and he's already beat somebody. Nobody even wants to fight. And he'd be like, Billy'd be like, get out there, Frank, but don't do anything stupid. And everybody on the bench like, oh, yeah, okay. So as soon as he gets on the ice, everyone in the building stands up because they know something's going down. But it used to make me laugh because Billy, get out there, Frank, but don't do anything.
Dude.
We'll talk to him, but don't fight him.
Just go skate around.
There was one night I'll never forget, Frankie, the late, oh my God, my mind's going blank now. Sasha Lakovic, I apologize.
Poor Sash, man.
Good dude. He was tough and everybody knew who he was, and we're playing Albany and I'm not saying he was afraid of Frank, but he just kind of stayed away. And I don't know if Frankie and him saw each other a lot on the ice. But obviously, Sasha knew Frank was there. But it was the biggest set of balls I've ever seen on a guy. We had a kid named Jeff Staples on our team who was a tough kid who fought a lot for the team. You know, not like he wasn't a heavyweight, but he did try to fight heavyweights and he stood his ground. He was a tough guy, and everybody loved Stapes. But he had fought Sasha a few times, and Sasha got a really the upper hand every time. We're playing Albany in the Spectrum, and Stapes gives Sasha a whack, try to get something going, and plays dead, blown dead, and Stapes whacks him. He wants to go. Now, you got to give Stapes credit because this guy had pumped him about three or four times. Sasha Lakovic is kind of like right near our bench, takes a couple strides, and he looks at Billy, and he says, I want him, and points at Frank, which I almost crapped in my peg. I'm like, what? He goes, I want him or no. He goes, first, I shit kick this guy every time we play you guys. I want him or nobody. And Billy goes, all right, Frank. Taps him. Frankie jumps over.
Silver platter.
So everybody's like, oh, boy. So drop the puck. Frank's first punch hits Sasha right in the head. Dropped him. Didn't knock him out, but dropped. You would have knocked anybody else I've ever seen you hit like that out. But just his feet like went flying up in the air, and he went straight down. He did get up, but the Frank had kind of already let go because he dropped him. But I'll never forget Sasha saying that. I want him or nobody. Classic. And I thought, buddy, what are you asking for? And another one that comes to mind that I believe his name was Dean Zayance in Carolina.
Oh, Christ.
Dude. Riles, we're in Carolina. Kevin Weeks was the goalie. They were the Florida Panthers affiliate at the time. And this guy, Dean Zayance, the only reason I remember this guy was because of Frank. I'll never forget his name. Anyway, he's trying to stay up in the American League. He'd gotten called up for the weekend against us. We won Friday night, 8-0, killed him. And we're playing some. We had Saturday off, which wasn't a good thing for the Philadelphia Phantoms crew because it was two hard nights. But these guys were good at playing guilty. So we played him Sunday afternoon. I got like, more of my friends are in the building than anyone. There's like 1,000 people in there. And I got about 25 guys right behind our bench. So anyway, we're up 7-1. It's third period, 4 minutes to go in the game. And Dean Zayance is asking Frankie to go. Frankie's like, buddy, it's like 7-1. Like, come on, man. And he's like, wax Frank. Frank goes, hey, fuck off. And he's like, wax. He goes, come on, man. I need it. I want to stay up. Well, he stayed up all right because he says he whacks him again, and Frank goes, the eyes start going, you want to dance with Big Daddy? And he says, yeah. Frankie grabs him right here, misses with the first one. Second one hits him, Riles. I mean, that perfect punch.
Yeah.
This guy goes down, and you hear pop. All his weight lands, breaks his leg right in half. Frankie's holding him up. The guy's out. He's like this. Frankie's holding him and going like this. Telling the guy to come in, and we're just like, well, you're going to stay up because you're injured. it was gross. And you know, like, even Frank's like kind of worried for the guy. Broke his compound fracture. Frankie's holding him up by one arm. And I turn around and look at my friends, and they're all going, woo, doing the bell. This poor guy's knocked out cold. His leg snapped in half. Oh. I'm like, guys, sit down. I'll never forget that, man.
Jesus. Oh, that's classic.
That was crazy.
We had some good ones with Caroline. You remember that other little skinny kid that they had that one time, Nasty? I can't remember. I think it was like Montreal or something like that.
The French kid, wasn't he? Was
I think
French?
So. Yeah. We fought the first time, and I slipped, and you were busting my balls. You're like, "Oh, he got it. I slipped." Oh. I think. But then remember, we were in the box, and I was like, "Oh yeah, man, you did good." I was like talking to him in box, like, "You did great, man. I think you're the heavyweight champ." I said, "I think you can do it again." I totally talked to him. We got out of the box. Remember, I think I missed his face. I punched him in the collarbone. Broke his collarbone.
He sure did. I'll never forget that. He was like this, but Frank didn't stop. Then he caught him a couple times. I'll never forget. Frankie, back then it was like UFC. You knock a guy out, guys kept punching. Well, Frank, literally, I remember Frankie, the one time you were like almost jumping up and down, backhammering this guy. And there was a linesman back in the day. God bless him, Mike Condon. He passed away. Great guy. He was one of the best lineys, man. I mean, players loved him, respected him. Frankie got in a tilt, and the guy was basically kind of out, but didn't go all the way down. So Frankie's finishing him off, right? So poor Mike comes jumping in. Next thing you know, he catches one of Frank's down. Our medical guy, Cat, had to go across the tent to the linesman. He's knocked out. He goes, he gets him into the penalty box. He puts Mike into the penalty box, and Mike goes, I'm getting too old for this shit, man. I don't even think he knew Frank hit him at that point. He didn't need to, but
I'll never, you know who that was, Jassy? That was that little prick Banica. Remember how he used to drive me fucking
Banica, mad? That's exactly who it was. Corey Banica.
And then so Mac, Simon with Jason Simon was on ice, and Mac fucking grabbed Simon, so I had no one to grab. And I looked around, I remember. Because Banica tried to get away, and I was like, "Oh, today's not your day, motherfucker!"
He was one of those guys that deserved it, Riles.
Oh, dude,
he was an effective little player, though, man. He did his job. He kind of reminds me of like an American League version of like a Clutterbuck.
Dude, that's like a fucking Barnaby, man.
Maybe more like that. Probably not as good of a player, but he played. No, you know, no. He won the Memorial Cup with Big E. He played with Eric Lindros, Jr. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But him and Barnaby, I hate them two fuckers the most. They're like,
oh, man.
Running their mouth and picking
God. I never forget Barnaby. Remember that, Dundee, with Barnaby in Rochester? We're skating around warm up and skating around. He's like, I got you, man. And I was like, what? Like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? A little skinny rat motherfucker. You know what I mean? So we're skating around. He's like, I got you, big boy. I'm going to tune you up. Skate around again. I fucking suckered him. I couldn't help it anymore. Rain warm ups. Rain warm up.
Oh man. There's so many. We can.
What they do at a Frankie 2.0, man.
I mean, for sure. Like it's crazy, man.
Nasty. You remember what you talking about, Billy? You remember the one time I was sitting on the bench and a fucker benched me for the whole game? And then I can't remember who we were playing. I think it might have been Roch too. Rasmussen. You remember that?
Rasmussen, yeah.
And Billy was right behind me the whole fucking game. Bah, 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 bah. Someone get that fucker. He's just embarrassing us. But I'm benched. I can't even do nothing. And he had me so fucking riled up that I remember I jumped over the boards and he was that Rasmussen was coming across the ice and I swung at him.
Yeah.
The fucking 20,000 people. I'll never forget that. Oh my god. And I fucking spun around, hit my head on the boards on the other side of the ring. So I was like, fuck. If I would have hit that kid, man, there would have been no head left.
Oh no, he would have come off his body for sure. He swung so hard.
And Billy was like, I got suspended for like two or three games. And I remember going in the room, I was skating off through the bench, and Billy's like, what in the fuck are you doing? I got sick and tired of listening to your shit, you motherfucker. You're in my ear all fucking night.
Talking about the popularity, I mean, you were perfect, Riles, too, for the city of Philadelphia. You know how they love the hard-nosed workers and the tough guys. And but you were so popular. I was telling Riley one night, you may have been suspended. Or you may have been hurt. I don't know what it was, but probably suspended. They had animal night. They had the animal night, and they had you. They had a great. We'll put it up. But they had a. You're on the cover of the magazine again, and it was with the snake around you. And so they were selling those. So in between the first and second period, Frankie Bailos would be signing these. So go in after the first period. Whatever, you know, the 15 minutes, come back out. The arena's damn near empty. There was a line that went all the way around the concourse to get his autograph. I swear to God, we played the second period with 1,000 people in the stands. Like everyone was like, it was amazing. I remember you saying, oh, never doing that again. I signed my name.
Oh, Billy was pissed too.
Oh, he was mad. Yeah, he was mad.
That was our boy Bogues. He was
blowing his head up. You're gonna blow his head up. He's not gonna want to play. You know, like he thinks he's too good now. You know, like. But that was just Billy being Billy. He was awesome.
Oh, Billy was the best, man. I remember having conversations with him with my first ex-wife, and he'd be like, "You got to go home, son." I'm like, "Here's the keys. You go there." I'm like, you take care of her. You live there. I'll stay where I'm at.
Speaking of your first wife, man, your wedding pictures were nice.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty.
Yeah. Tell Riggs about that one.
Oh,
you two black eyes.
No, I don't think so.
Ah, dude, we were all shit faced, and I was getting married. Bushy was there, the kid Mike James. Like, you know, we had a big crew, and we had my Uncle Rick, like, you know, just all killers. You know, I'm hammered. And my Uncle Rick's carrying me out of the bar. We were at that one, you know, right on Market Street there, Riles. What was it? The good club in Winnipeg. And I'm getting carried out on my uncle's shoulder. And we get to the front steps, and he puts me down and smacks me across the face. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? And he's like, your buddies are getting killed, man. We got to go help them. So I'm like, all right, fuck. So I go running in, and the kid's pinned against the wall. And I grab this kid, start beating the shit out of him. My uncle grabs, Bushy grabs a couple guys. And there's no end to these motherfuckers. It's like ants, you know what I mean? So I got this prick, and I grab him by his pants and his thing, and I ram his head through a taxi window, and his feet are dangling out. His friend goes running. I got him by the back of the hair. He's dragging me a little bit. I get him down. I'm beating the fuck out of him. And I got these two assholes on the street, and I'm punching them in the face, you know, they're pinned, and I'm laughing. My Uncle Rip looks over. He's like, he's okay. He's making sure I don't get, you know, tuned up, because I'm getting married tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm up there punching him. All of a sudden, all you hear is like, oh, you hit him with a sign. Like there's like 5,000 people watching this fucking thing. You know what I mean? And my uncle looks over, and he's like, oh, fuck. And all I remember is, like, I'm laying on the ground. I got my face covered so these pricks that I was beating up can't hit me. And they were both on top of me now. And my uncle comes over, and just all I see is teeth flying everywhere, man. My uncle kicked him in the fucking face, beat, you know, picks me up, says, hey, we got to go to ambulance. So we walk it down the street, go to ambulance. I got like fucking, I think I got like 100 stitches in my face, across my forehead, eyes closed shut. So I show up at the church in the morning. I got like, well, I was at the hospital. My uncle Rick's like, your mom is going to fucking kill us. And I'm like, oh, God, don't even tell me. So now everyone's coming home, and my mom sees them Bushy. There's blood all over them. Everyone's covered in blood. She's like, okay, where's the asshole? They're like, oh, no one wanted to answer her. So she chucks it. My uncle called her. She gets to the hospital. She's ready to fucking kill us. She's going to hit me with a baseball bat.
Yeah. So you got hit with a stop sign, didn't you, or something?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And my aunt says to me, you don't think that's a warning?
Stop in the face.
Dude, I swear to fucking God.
Life's giving you signs, right? You just ignore them.
That was a sign, bro.
Yeah, dude. And then I fucking go. Then I go in, and I walk in, and the priest is like looking at me, and he's like, maybe we postpone. I'm like, no, just fucking do it, man.
It's over with.
Let's get this. I couldn't even put my fucking shoes on. I was missing fucking chunks out of my feet from kicking people in the face. I was like, it's fucking terrible. It's cuts and scratch. Dude, they cut a fucking ring off my finger that had teeth in it. Like, they couldn't have blocked it from hitting the guy. Yeah, God. Man. I was fucking the guy at the emergency room's like, what the fuck happened?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And apparently my uncle, like, that's how fucked up my family is. My big uncle was walking around like, I think you did that. You did it. You just grabbed people and he must have knocked out about 30 people, they said. He's just walking down the street beating people up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And apparently it was a bunch of army guys that were, you know, I don't know what happened. So it just turned
out. Wow.
It's so crazy.
You were locked up then.
No, yeah, yes. I was a mess. I mean, I remember walking to ambulance, but my uncle's like, oh, not, your mom's going to fucking kill us, man. Because we had people in from everywhere. You know, it was crazy. Fuck.
Wow. What a story.
That's
intense, man.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, you played what, two full seasons with the Phantoms, and then like the third season, you bounced around, I think, Indianapolis Ice. And What happened there? I mean, after all the success, he'd won the Calder Cup, I think, the year before, maybe?
Nah, I mean, me personally, I just think there's a lot of, you know, animosity, deal tell you. Like, you know, like every time, you know, Flyers got beat up or something stupid happened, you know what I mean? It was like a call up Frank, bring up Frank, you know what I mean? And I think
that happened a lot, yeah.
It happened all the time. And I think the pressure, and, you know, I think Clarkie had shit on his shoulders and he didn't have intention, you know. I mean, Did I deserve a chance to go up? Hell yeah. You know, there's no question. I don't know what, you know, it's the hockey world. You know how it is, Riles. You know what I mean? But, hey, shit happens, man. So, then I hurt my knee in the season before. You know, I was playing nasty, seeing it. I mean, fuck, I had a scope on Wednesday and I played on Thursday. You know what I mean? And I fought. Yeah. So I was, oh, yeah. I used to fight. Yeah, it was bad. I would never say no, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Riles, I mean, all you guys, like, he's not the first and not the last, but hockey players are definitely the toughest people I've ever been around. But I'll never forget, we were in the Calder Cup Finals playing St. John. And I knew Frankie was getting his knees. He had to get his knees drained every game. Like, that's how bad it was. And I actually decided to watch for some reason. I don't know why I did, because it was I hated seeing it. He was sitting there. It hurt, but they pulled this stuff out of his, this fluid. But he was like, it was painful, but then he's like, oh, my God, it feels so much better.
Good to go.
You know, getting it up. But I mean, bro, it was so much. It was yellowy.
Like ABC's every warm-up.
That's a ton, hey?
Dude, it was unbelievable. But I'll tell you this, Riles. I mean, like, a big show of respect for Frank. I'll never forget this. And I had never seen this, and I don't think I ever did again, except for the time Marty Biron was trying to be Don King with you in Atlanta that time, Riles.
Oh, yeah.
With his buddy there. But, cool. The players skated before game one, and we had our morning skate, and all the boys took off. And I'm like sharpening some skates and like straightening up. Anyway, we're playing game one of the finals, morning skate, guys take off, go home, take their nap, eat their lunch and all that stuff. So I'm sharpening some skates, getting ready for the guys to get back. And there's a knock on my door, the equipment side, and I go and answer it. And it's Rocky Thompson. And he is when he had the hair, he was just coming into the league. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know him at all. But he's like, hey, is the animal here? And I'm like, you didn't even call him Frankie. He's like, is the animal here? And I said, no, buddy. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're buddies, you know, from maybe they know each other somehow. And I said, no, man. I said, he took off, you know, all the guys left. And he says, okay, if could you ask him if he would please, maybe give me a chance tonight. And I'm like, yeah, he goes, you'll ask him. And I'm like, yeah, I'll ask him. And then he says, okay, thank you very much. And he turns around, walks in. Last thing I want to do is go up to Frankie before game one of a finals and be like, hey, this guy said, hey, you want to go? Like, cause I couldn't even imagine what you guys think. You know, I know how hard of a job that is, but I told Francois when he got there, and Frankie closed his eye. He couldn't play in game two, if I'm correct, Frankie. Yeah. He pumped him really good. And we go to St. John's for game three. Rocky's back in the lineup. And I thought it was so cool because these two get out there. Like, Billy puts the line out. So they answer and they put Rocky out. Ding, 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 ding. The guy doing the music and everything does the bell and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And Frankie got the better of him again. And then game six, when we won the cup, they fought. It was more of an even match, I'd say. Frankie didn't totally kill him, but it was a good fight.
He was hanging on for dear life doing the body shots. Yeah, I was laughing. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. You got to throw something, man. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm hanging on.
But it was pretty amazing to, you know, have three fights in a final.
I know, right?
We're going back to 96, 97, or 97, 98, but still, it was – you know,
that's impressive. Yeah,
it was impressive. Yeah. But the amount of respect that he had for you, I thought was really cool.
I remember getting nasty. I got a phone call from my mom. She's like, what are you going to do about Rocky? I'm like, fuck him. I was like, who the fuck is Rocky? We never played him yet. You know what I mean? I guess he's tough becoming. He's tough kid.
Yeah, he was making a really good name for himself. Like, he was
tuning up.
Yeah, he's a gamer. Lot, man. Yeah, he was. God, his whole career, man. I mean, I remember him being in Louisville and playing with Brent Thompson, those two knuckleheads back. Oh, God. Did you end up playing with Rocky?
No, I never
played. Oh, you didn't?
With him.
Okay. Something weird was you playing for Hershey against us. Dude, that was just looking at Frankie over there, it's just like, what? Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Well, we never really had any issues. Only that one time when I fought the Lassard kid or whatever. I was pissed at Billy member.
Oh, Frankie Lassard. Oh, boy. He was a beauty, too. Frankie. Yeah. So who he comes to me, Frankie. Frankie, he comes up to me. His first, he was a tough
SRT. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie comes up to me. You know, his English was still learning. But I'll never forget game one. He comes up with the sheets, you know, like with the names and everything. He goes, who tough? Who tough? He wanted me to tell him on the, who on the other team was tough. You know, it was like the very first game. So there's no penalty minutes, you know, for that season.
Right,
so he's
right.
Like, he says, who tough, nasty? Who tough? And I'm like, that guy's tough. That guy's tough. Okay. Right out there. All laughs, you know, like all laughs. But that's funny.
Yeah. So you wrapped up in Hershey as far as your American League career went. And then you paused the hockey career for what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I was done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then I went out, like I said, opportunity to go fight and, you know, box and kind of miss being a violent prick. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, so they were going to fly you up to the Quebec League there and pay you some cash and a couple of tillies later. You know, anyway,
that's it. I'll never forget when I was up there. They're like, do you want to play? I'm like, no.
No, my legs will seize up.
I just go out and fucking fight, man.
I haven't skated that much.
Yeah, I haven't skated that much. I don't even want to attempt this shit. Like, let's just do. I know what I'm here for.
Frankie, it's too bad that you did come along a little bit later, because over in Russia, we're talking to Gratz, he could have played for that owner.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you would have made millions playing in just hockey. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that guy's crazy, but that's another story for
different. Yeah.
But
I missed a bunch of errors, man. I wish it had been in the...
Yeah. You're in a good one, though, man.
Dude, that was the best time of my life. I got friends like you, Kat. You know what I mean? Yep. Fuck, you couldn't ask for... It was like a blessing, you know? And that's why I live here. It's just, you know, the people here, my friends. Like, I mean... Yeah, you thank God every day for that shit. You can buy it if you want it. You know what I mean? If I would have said, you know, where I came from and what I did to be in the position that I'm in, I'd say there's not a chance in hell. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm blessed, man. You know, someone's looking after my story.
Well, you're a hard worker.
You're a hard worker, man. Yeah.
Very, very hard worker.
You got a big heart. As crazy as the stories are and the people wrap their head around them, you know, you are a really solid dude. And you said earlier, give the shirt off your back, man.
Absolutely. There's no question.
Real quick, Frank, I know we've had you tied up here for a while. You're a professional boxer. You had two fights. Your first one, I thought this was the craziest thing. I'm out in Arizona in January, a golf tournament with my good friend, Grant Garcia, who took care of me and took me out there. And one of his big clients is this guy. We're going to meet him. Oh, cool, man. Come up to the bar. This dude's cool as hell. Chit-chatting with him. Jared Vasquez is his name. So talked to him, tell me a little bit about himself, and said, yeah, I lived in Philly for about 7 years, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you ever see the team, like heard of the team, the Philadelphia Phantoms? I'm like, well, yeah, I worked for him for 9 years. I said, I worked for the Flyers for 25 years. And he's like, okay. You're nasty. You know, that's right when I first met him. I'm like, yeah. So he goes, oh, you ever meet a guy named Frankie Bialowis? And I'm like, he's one of my best buddies. Yeah, I know him. He goes, I was the guy he beat up in Philly. And I went, what do you mean beat up in Philly? Oh, prospectors? At the bar? We won't go there. We won't go there.
No.
But he goes, no, in the Spectrum, I boxed him. And I was like, that was you? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, we got to call Frank. So I called Frank. I said, guess who I'm sitting with? And I tell him, he goes, no way. So they get on the phone. Now he's on my phone for a half hour. These two are catching up.
No shit.
What a small world, dude. Man.
Yeah. I was at that fight.
Yeah, was Riggs was there. Shit. That's right.
Yeah, it was good shit.
That's some hard shit, Riley.
Yo, man.
Fuck me,
a lot of
man.
Credit for that.
Yeah, you got to get your hands on the fucker. You know, that's what I said, even in the second fight when I lost, I was like, I'll go outside with that motherfucker right now, and I guarantee you I don't lose.
That was a different animal, right?
Yeah, it's a whole different animal. Yeah, they're trained. I learned a whole new respect for it. I'll tell you that, man. I mean, like I said, you know, you got the Floyds, those fuckers can move, man.
Yeah, they just don't get hit, right? I mean,
you can't, dude. It's like they smell your shit coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, me, I'm like a guided missile. I got to have one hand on, you know, fucking other one following.
Oh, man.
Beautiful. Right on, Frankie. Well,
awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing good, man. It's fucking awesome.
It's great to see you. We'll have to bring you back on for a Frankie 2.0.
We gotta bring you into the studio. That's what we tell everybody. We gotta bring you into the studio, but we do appreciate your time, buddy. Love you to death, man. You know, you're one of my best buddies and
always,
just a great guy, one of the toughest SOBs in Philly. It's too bad you never they never really gave you a shot with the Flyboys, but they knew if they called you up, you weren't going back.
Never going back.
Yeah. You'd have put the Phantoms out of business.
The attendance, they would have been in Adirondack quicker. Yeah, right.
You imagine, Nasty, imagine that first game. You're like, fuck.
Poor Roger Nielsen, God rest him. Yeah, I remember him saying to the media, yeah, we might call that animal guy up. He didn't even know his name. He calls him the animal guy.
A Muppet or something.
I was like, Rog. Yeah, we carried the animal. We had carried the Muppet thing. It was always in Frankie's stall. We took had it everywhere. It was always in the stall.
It was priceless.
Yeah, man.
Best times ever, man. Best part of my life, I got to say, man.
It was great. It's great. Yeah. So, but anyway, thank you, brother, man.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you guys are doing good. Like I said, man, God bless. Hopefully, you got to get rid of that spit and chiclets and that. So, Knuckles now. Fuck those guys.
They're our buddies, man. They're our buddies. Yeah. Good dudes.
Oh,
man.
Hey, Nasty. One last thing. My brother sent me, I got to send it to you so you have it on. So, fucking Jamie McClellan, you know, the goalie?
McClellan.
So, he's on the commentator in fucking I got to send you the clip. He's doing commentating in Calgary. My brother sent me this because they videoed it, him and his buddies. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Jamie's on there doing the caller and shit like that. And they're talking about the East Coast, how it's a developmental league and shit like that. Right. And he goes, yeah, he goes, you know, it's not the same league. But when I played, he goes, fuck, when I played, we were playing. He goes, this team had this Frank the Animal. He goes, the other guy's like, oh yeah, we all know him real good. He goes, everyone was scared of that motherfucker, even his own teammate. And this is on fucking Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, no way.
I'd be like, dude, I love it.
Oh, we're going to find that clip.
Riles, have you ever met Frankie's brother?
No.
I met Chris when he was, obviously, years ago, he was a kid. He was a skinny little kid. You know, he wasn't too tall yet. This guy is like 6'5", like just jacked. I called him the Worm, like Dennis Rodman. I nicknamed him. I always said, hey, how's the Worm doing? Because he was a skinny. He was getting taller, skinny. And then next thing I know, I see him 6 years later, and this guy's like out of his mind. I'm like, good God, man. What happened to the little Worm? But anyway. Classic. Thanks again, Francois.
No problem, guys. Yeah, thank you, man. All right,
brother. We'll talk to you soon.
That episode was brought to you by SettleMeyerSkateSharpening.com. For all your hockey and skate sharpening needs, visit Nasty in his shop or at SettleMeyerSkateSharpening.com. Also, BodyCheckWellness.com for all your hemp-derived CBD and functional mushroom needs. Check it out at BodyCheckWellness.com. And big thank you to Frank the Animal by Lois. What a beauty.
My stomach is still hurting from laughing. Oh my God.
Absolute legend. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time, man.
Listen, and you know, we went on for a while with him. I'm telling you, and Riles, you know this, and people that do know him, there's 100 more stories.
Oh, yeah.
especially hockey related. He got into some other than hockey things, but it's just what makes Frankie. He's just, he's the best, man.
Yeah, man.
God, he was a tough guy, man.
Yeah.
He was feared. He was feared for a while. Nobody wanted to mess with that guy.
Well, I guess not. Some of those stories, man, and just grabbing guys and start punching them in the face for no good reason.
No good reason.
Yeah, this guy's just trying to skate away.
Just because he wanted to. I know we talked about it during the show, but I tell you, man, I used to laugh so hard when Billy would tell him to get out there, you know, but don't do anything. This guy's got more testosterone pumping through his body from juicing and everyone in the building yelling his name and don't do anything stupid, Frank. Okay. What'd he say? I promise I won't. he was great, man. God, he was great. Yeah. I really wish he would have got a shot with the big boys.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. For all the work he put in and all the excitement he brought to the city to not give him one game.
I know. I
just cannot, for the life of me, understand that. But obviously there was some behind the scenes politics of some sort, conversations that were had. But yeah, I can't believe that. But
it's crazy.
Nonetheless, he's still a legend.
He is. He is. And I'll tell you what, very, very successful businessman. Gets his hands dirty, though. He's right in the middle of it. He works. Man, that guy works hard. God, he works from like time the sun comes up till it goes down normally. We were lucky with the heat that he had to cut it work short yesterday so we could get him at a decent time.
Yeah, right.
Because he's so damn busy. But seriously, lots of thanks to Frank, man. He's the man. That was just a great episode.
Yeah, I look forward to doing Frankie 2.0. We got to do it. We got to take some of these guys.
We got to do things with him, man.
Yeah, man, because that's a whole nother league of storytelling.
Oh, my God. He's amazing. But, yeah, man, awesome. Francois, you're the man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you hopping on. And that is a wrap for episode 36. Tune in next week for episode 37, Knuckleheads. Until then, enjoy the week and have some fun.
See you, Knuckleheads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.